All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming back. We are here on Musicology on radio.dominican.edu with DJ Wise here and, of course, DJ King.
What up?
How you guys doing? That was John Coltrane's Part 2 Resolution from his infamous album, A Love Supreme. Rolling Stone rated it as the 47th greatest album of all time, which it was. It's a near-perfect album, as DJ King and I were just previously talking about. Which is saying something, considering it's the 1960s and jazz is fading away. That is kind of amazing, you know? Anyway, you know what? I want to get into that second song we were talking about. I'm not just going to leave you hanging here. That was Bill Evans with a waltz for Debbie. That song was done with, of course, his trio, which had Scott Lefero and Paul Motain on drums there. That was his infamous trio back in the day. But Bill Evans is kind of an influential figure in jazz as well. Even in the 1950s, it kind of makes sense that he was coming in the 1960s and making his soul albums, because in the 1950s, he was working for guys like Miles Davis. And there's that crazy story with Kind of Blue, where Evans, he didn't get any credit for writing Kind of Blue on Kind of Blue. And he asked Davis, you know, can I get some money for this song that I wrote? And Davis essentially just wrote him a check for $25 and then sent him on his way.
$25?
One of the greatest jazz album of all time, you know, one of the greatest jazz songs of all time. And essentially, it's kind of agreed upon everyone in the jazz community at this point that Evans wrote this song. And here comes Miles Davis, just stern as a buck, saying, nope, I wrote it, everyone. Look at me.
Here's $25.
Here's $25, Bill Evans. Go screw yourself. And Bill Evans went, you know what? Fine. I'm going to go make my own album. And he made a great album there with A Waltz for Debbie. The song was A Waltz for Debbie, if you're confused there. That song was released in 1961. One of the great jazz pianists of all time. Anyway, I don't want to leave out all these other jazz musicians that were hip and happening at the time, because the 1960s did leave us with some great jazz musicians as well as some other genres of music as well. But I want to notice Charles Mingus, who had some great albums in the 1960s. We had Wes Montgomery, the amazing guitar player with this one of the smoothest sounds that everyone sort of looked after. Jimmy, I know Joe Pass looked to him. Oscar Peterson and his trio had some great albums. Stan Getz had an amazing album with some fusion songs in it. Some great guitarists there, too. Chet Baker, of course, moved to Europe in the 1960s because jazz was, you know, it wasn't hip in America anymore. Another great jazz artist. And Ornette Coleman, who had another great jazz album.
Yeah, great jazz musician.
Great jazz musicians there. But I kind of feel like we're going to get yelled at here. You know why? Because we were missing something in that list, weren't we? Did you notice anything about that list?
Yeah, definitely.
That they all had sausages. I want to talk about women now. I want to talk about some ladies playing
sausages.
The music. Yes, of course. Now, I know you might have been a little frustrated with that last list, but don't worry, because I saved all the best ladies for right now. The 1960s were a great decade for women's music. You had Ella Fitzgerald with Ella in Berlin. That was a great album. Judy Garland with Judy at Carnegie Hall, 1961, another great album. Etta James with the legendary album At Last. I know you all know it.
Oh, yeah.
And Joan Baez with her self-titled album. And, of course, the greatest 1960s woman singer of all. Can you guess who it is? Barbra Streisand, yeah!
Barbra Streisand.
Oh, my God.
And also, rest in peace, Etta. You had a great voice, and that album, At Last, and song is beautiful. Definitely.
Definitely a beautiful album, which is what we're going to talk about right here and right now on Musicology. We are going to talk about At Last. We are going to talk about Etta James' career, because that was such a big album. At Last, do you remember that album?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Such great songs. She moved from Modern Records at the time to the infamous Chess Records. We all know Chess from the 1950s. And then she started just making hit after hit after hit in the 1960s. She had Trust in Me, which was number 4 on the R&B list. All I Could Ever Do Was Cry, number 2 on the R&B list. Something's Got a Hold on Me, number 4. If I Can't Have You, number 52 on pop, which was primarily, you know, white music, essentially. And she's essentially making that list, which is crazy. And number 6 on R&B. And, of course, At Last, which was number 2 on R&B. I don't know what song was number 1 at that time, but I can't imagine it was any better. Because At Last is something we've all heard 50,000 times. And it's one of the best songs. One of the best blues songs ever.
Oh, yeah. And blues and R&B. One of the best songs of all time.
Exactly. And the next song we're going to play for you is... not At Last, because you've heard it 80 million times already. So we're going to play something else off that album. And instead, we're going to play for you a song called I Just Want to Make Love to You, which was originally recorded by Willie Dixon, and then it was recorded by Etta James in 1961 on her infamous At Last album. Anything you want to say before we hit this song?
That I loved what you said, that that Etta was going into the pop charts, which was primarily white. What's awesome about the 50s and 60s is that, you know, later in the 60s, everyone knows that the civil rights movement would be happening. Right. So to have these artists, these black artists going into the mainstream and actually having their voice heard, and injecting themselves in American culture was great for the time. And I think helped, start, the civil rights movement, in America.
Right. It helped bring a face to this movement in a sense. I don't know how active as a social activist she was, but saying that you don't like Etta James and you don't like this album is a lie. And it shows that, you know, like aside from the common belief at the time that black artists were some of the best artists at the time. And it's been that way and it's going to be that way. I want to play for you some Etta James. I Just Want to Make Love to You right now. Musicology, DJ Wise here, DJ King. Thank you for listening. Radio.Dominican.edu.
I don't want you to be no slave. But I want you to be true, and I just wanna make love to you, love to you, ooh, love to you. All I want to do is wash your clothes. I don't want
I Just Want to Make Love to You by Etta James off At Last. An infamous great album. That song has been covered by such greats as Chuck Berry, the sensational Alex Harvey Band, the Grateful Dead, Buddy Guy, Mungo Jerry, the Kinks, everyone. The Rolling Stones have covered it.
Van Morrison, the Yardbirds, the Animals, even Tom Petty.
Even the Meat Puppets for some reason. I didn't see that one coming. Anyway, that was I Just Want to Make Love to You, Etta James. A fun fact about Etta James, actually, that I want to bring up is that after her foster mother died, after she passed away, her real mother had to take care of her, and she actually grew up in San Francisco in the Fillmore District for a while. It's just kind of interesting. I actually went to school in the Fillmore District. I went to Gateway High School in the Fillmore District. Shout out to them. And it's kind of interesting to think that there was all this great music going on just essentially a block away from my school. I don't know many schools that have that. I went to school, like, my school is right here, and then a block away was the Fillmore West, the Bill Graham, you know, Fillmore West.
Oh, right.
You know? And I've actually seen an artist that we're going to talk about later, but everyone has been through the Fillmore West. You know, it's kind of crazy to think about that. I ate lunch next to some crackheads, and in between me and those crackheads, it was one of the greatest music halls of all time, and it's just
historical.
I don't know. I didn't really think about it until I started doing musicology, I guess, guys. I don't know. I took it for granted. Anyway, San Francisco, a huge time in the 1960s, served a great purpose. NorCal in general, Berkeley, San Francisco, all these places served a significance in essentially these protests, civil rights, anti-Vietnam War movements that were taking place. One woman in particular that actually was a huge social activist as well as a singer was Joan Baez. And Joan Baez was kind of like the female Bob Dylan at the time. She was essentially, I say essentially way too much, she was one of the big speakers against the war for civil rights. She sang at a march at Washington in 1963, which was organized by Martin Luther King himself. She went to jail twice for protesting the war in 1967. She refused to pay taxes essentially protest military spending. And she was also a folk singer. And that's awesome because this is musicology. We love to talk about the history of things, and we love to talk about singers, and she is the perfect combo here. Now, some great artists have emulated Joan Baez. She was emulated by Judy Collins, Joni Mitchell, and Bonnie Raitt herself. And allegedly, at that time, when she was making her first album in 1960, which was a self-titled album, she met up with Bob Dylan, who was unknown at the time. I know you're a huge Bob Dylan fan. He was unknown around 1960, and she was sort of taking him around, and they were allegedly romantically dating for a little bit there.
Ooh.
Ooh, some hippie dating. I like it. Anyway, she was a huge activist. So was Bobby D. She might have actually had an influence on Bobby D. We'll talk about that later in the 1960s more. But, yeah, Joan Baez, she's one of the huge great social activists. I want to play her for you, Donna Donna, off her first album. You'll kind of get to hear a newer sound, a folkier sound, something you might hear out of Donovan, Simon and Garfunkel, just some good feeling music, man.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. It's just
getting the groovy waves and good vibes coming in right now.
Just really feeling all these colors going around in the studio. And here's Joan Baez with Donna Donna. Hope you enjoy it. Musicology. DJ Wise here with DJ King, radio.dominican.edu. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
On a wagon boat for market. There's a calf with a mournful eye. High above him there's a swallow, winging swiftly through the sky. How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through, and half the summer's night. Donna, Donna, Donna. Complaining, said the farmer, who told you a calf to be? Why don't you have wings to fly with, like the swallow so proud and free? How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through, and have summer's night. Donna, 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 slaughtered, never knowing the reason why. But whoever treasures freedom, like the swallow, has learned to fly. How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through, and half the summer's night.
All right, DJ King, Stairway to Heaven or Donna Donna?
I'm going to have to go with, you know what? Neither.
Neither?
Neither, man.
Oh, dude.
It has to be.
It has to be Crazy Frog.
It has to be, yeah, it has to be Crazy Frog.
It has to be
everything
crazy.
That he recorded.
Everything.
It, she, I don't even know what that thing is.
That amphibian is.
Yeah.
Joan Baez, Donna Donna Donna, man. Super good vibes here on radio.dominican.edu, musicology. We're talking about social activism there. But you know what? That's kind of bringing me down, man. And I want to bring us to the best of the blues. You know what that means, Johnny?
What does that mean, man?
We're going into some blues riffs. Here we go.
All right. Damn.
Oh yeah, I know.
Did you hear that? He totally shredded that that guitar.
He shredded that old electric tambourine there. That was crazy. That was Buddy Guy himself. The first time I met the blues. This is the first time we're going to be talking about the blues tonight. The man, the guy, Buddy Guy,
who influenced big giants like Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, and even Stevie Ray Vaughan.
We got Stevie Ray Vaughan, Keith Richards, and even Jeff Beck as well. So he influenced all the big names, especially Eric Clapton, who quoted as saying, "This guy's my favorite guitar player ever of all time."
Wow.
Yeah. The Eric Clapton loves Buddy Guy, which makes sense. Buddy Guy was all about essentially rhythm and flash. He brought blues to essentially right back into that flash and that rhythm that we all knew and love from Muddy Waters, and he made it faster and he made it louder, and he was like the Little Richard of blues, and he just made it just so fun to watch and so fun to listen to. He started out like every other guitar player. Keep in mind, he went to Chicago, bought a $500 Les Paul, which became his main guitar. When he wasn't getting recognized in Chi-Town, he started to do some more flamboyant things. He wanted to get recognized. He would start in the back of the hall and start playing with his teeth and walk up to the stage playing the loudest music he could with his teeth. So, I mean, you kind of see how easy it was to like Buddy Guy at the time when you have this guy who's making great music with his teeth, in a sense.
Probably influencing Jimi Hendrix again.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Smashing his guitar a lot of the times. Pete Townsend, Jimi Hendrix. There we
right
go.
Right there. More 60s stuff.
More 60s stuff. Buddy, man, he is the man. He's, like, probably one of the most influential guitar players of all time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
According to Rolling Stone, he was ranked 30th, actually.
There we go.
Of 100 greatest guitarists of all time.
That's what I was looking for.
And, you know, 30th is a great number. I mean, if you're competing with guys like Jimmy Page
I think he's further up that list.
Yeah.
He definitely has to be. If you look at the guys he influenced, I mean, if you're going to put Jimmy as number one on that list, who influenced Jimmy? Come on.
Yeah, right.
Who's
exactly.
sitting? There's a video of Jimmy sitting in this little corner of the room watching Buddy play with his teeth, and Jimmy, I've never seen Jimmy look at another musician that way in his life. Jimmy's always been the kind of guy like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool, and then go off and just explode everywhere.
Right.
Buddy Guy had Jimmy's mouth open, just jaw dropped, and he couldn't even explain what he was saying, what he was seeing, and thank you, because Jimmy's my favorite guitarist of all time, so I guess indirectly, Buddy is my favorite guitarist of all time. The next album I want to play for you is I Left My Blues in San Francisco. So more San Francisco there. Blues coming to San Francisco from Chicago. The greatest Buddy Guy. Here we go. Every girl I see, Buddy Guy, here on Musicology, radio.dominican.edu. Thank you for listening. Don't go away.
Good and you look good. You look good and you look good. And every girl I see are looking good to me. And every girl I see are looking good to me. You know the prettiest girl that I ever seen was a girl right here looking like a queen. And how she looked, you know, words can't tell, because of all of these girls, you know, they sure look swell. And every girl I see are looking good to me. And every girl I see are looking good to me. And a girl I see that I don't have face, she got so much charm and a silk and a lace. And what to do, you know, I don't know, because I never felt like this before. And every girl I see are looking good to me. And every girl I see are looking good to me. We'll be right back. that shape. My heart gets happy and I'm full of glee, because all of these girls are sending me, and every girl I see are looking forward to me. Every girl I see are looking forward to me. I can't put you down for no one else. You know you look so good, I can't control myself. And every girl I see are looking good to me. And every girl I see are looking good to me. Show me.
Thank you so much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we want to go way back, way back. Someday, baby, I'd like to tell you a little story now. Ladies, if you got a man, husband, whatever you want to call him, and he don't do exactly like you think he should, don't cut him because you can't raise him over again, you know. Don't hurt him. Treat him nice. And fellas, I want to say to you, if you got a wife, a woman, or whatever you want to call her, she don't do like you think she should, don't go upside her head. That don't do but one thing. That make her a little smarter, and she won't let you catch her the next time. So all you do is talk to her softly. It's real sweet, you know. And you tell her, I know you'll do better. Someday, babe. Oh, someday, babe.
Oh my!
Wow, that was great to hear.
Wow, I didn't want to leave that any more than you did, Penguin listeners. That was BB King there, live at the Regal, with "Worry Worry." Wow, I want to talk about "Every Girl I See" by Buddy Guy, one of my favorite guitar players off "I Left My Blues in San Francisco," but
I think that BB King really stole the spotlight there. Because I mean, what do we got with BB? We got a man who's great with the guitar.
We got a man who not only brought blues, he not only brought blues with standard rhythm that you were hearing with Muddy, with Howlin' Wolf, with John Lee Hooker. You were hearing also Django Reinhardt in here. You were hearing jazz. You were hearing everything. And that's why BB is the man. Oh my goodness. That was live at the Regal, his 1964 album from the Regal Theater in Chicago. Chicago.
Some Chicago blues happening only in Chicago.
Only in Chicago,
the one place it should be.
Man, that album had everything. It had "Every Day I Have the Blues," "Please Love Me," "Sweet Little Angel," "Woke Up This Morning," "It's My Own Fault." I don't even think the song I played there is the highest rated song on that album. That's how great that album is. And you just listened to that last song there, listeners. That was, wow. That was fun.
I also like that middle part when he was talking.
Someday. He's talking about the ladies.
Yeah, it's like, if you got a man.
If you got a man.
Whatever you call him. Your husband.
The guy who I saw at the Fillmore West was BB King, and he was talking about gay rights, and I was like, oh no, he's gonna start preaching, you know, something nasty here in San Francisco, and he's gonna get booed off. And nope, BB comes out, of course, the coolest guy ever, and he's like,
oh, of course,
he's like, oh man, to each his own here, baby. You know, you guys like smoking legally, and you like, man, whoever you want. I love that about you, San Francisco. And I don't know. BB's the man. BB Blues Boy. I don't know. Thank you. Listen to My Kind of Blues. Listen to Singing the Blues, The Blues, all those great albums. I wish we didn't have to go here. I wish we don't have to talk about next week. I just want to keep going on this. But, you know, musicology's got to end too, guys. Anyway, this is not the end of the 60s for you guys. We're going to be talking more about the 60s. We're going to bring up some more BB, don't worry. We're going to talk about some more blues guitarist Jimmy. We're going to talk about The Who, The Stones.
Psychedelic rock, British Invasion.
Yep.
Even surf rock should be mentioned,
even
definitely.
Surf rock is going to come in. We're going to talk all about Dick Dale and the Beachy Boys, of course.
Yeah, definitely. That's going on next week on Musicology. Same time, same place. 9 p.m. right after Music Central on radio.dominican.edu.
Yep.
And so what do we have to say about this first half of the 60s? Why are they important?
Well, DJ King, they're important because we wanted to talk about the artists that paved the way for the later artists that are going to come up next. You just heard BB King. You just heard Buddy Guy. I mean, Eric Clapton, Buddy Guy, Cream. You're going to see that Jimi Hendrix playing with his teeth. Yeah. That's going to be the big thing we're going to play next week for you. Also, BB King. Who doesn't like to emulate BB? That's insane if you don't think BB's one of the best. John Mayer, I think, quoted BB as his favorite guitarist. Like,
good choice.
One of his favorite guitarists, at least. Dang, BB. Anyway, we also have, you know, John Coltrane and Bill Evans leaving us jazz. We're still going to talk about jazz. We're going to talk about jazz.
Yeah, it's in there
still. Every week. It's still in there. Maybe not as much as it was in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, but we're still going to make time for some jazz artists. And John Coltrane, who's going to argue that he wasn't one of the most progressive jazz artists at the time?
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous if you don't think so. And of course you had some great female singers. You had Joan Baez, who kind of paved the way for that social activist scene that we're going to see with, Bobby D. We're going to see with, a lot of different artists essentially protesting the war and fighting for civil rights, fighting for women's rights. That's going to be a big thing. We have a lot of history. I doubt we're going to be able to finish in an hour. I think we're going to go beyond.
Yeah.
Even
Woodstock? We didn't even mention Woodstock.
We haven't mentioned Woodstock. We haven't mentioned Berkeley. We haven't mentioned Atlanta. We haven't mentioned all those great
Martin
festivals.
Luther King, JFK, Cuban Missile Crisis, all that stuff is next week on Musicology. It's just great stuff. And something that you guys should definitely tune into because it's very interesting. And like we said before, you know, without all this music throughout the ages, you wouldn't have any of the songs in your iPod.
Yeah, exactly. I want to leave you here with, actually, DJ King's favorite artist. I don't want to leave you hanging. We want to give you a little preview of what's to come next week. I know this is DJ King's favorite artist. This is DJ King's Jimi Hendrix to me. So,
oh, yeah.
So this is Bob Dylan. We have Highway 61 Revisited. Do you want to say anything about Bobby D? I know you got some opinions about this album.
All right, so 65 Revisited, or 61 Revisited. Which came out in 1965.
Right.
It was one of the first albums for Bob Dylan to actually go electric, from move to the,
exactly,
you know, to just having the guitar and singing,
right,
doing his folk songs. He got a band together, which would eventually become the band from the 60s. The band, you know, with the weight and all those music from Big Pink. But anyway, so Dylan, you know, formed this electric band, and at first, and we're gonna get to this next week. At first,
it wasn't
favored by most, but you know, it, like wine, it has aged well, and
exactly,
people have changed their opinions because it's Bob Dylan, and actually heard the album, and in my opinion, one of the greatest albums of all time. I really like the electric sound that Dylan put on, and it, you know.
He
managed to make one of his greatest
songs. And it still remained true to folk, in a sense, and it still remained true to Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play for you guys now Tombstone Blues here.
Oh, yeah.
Highway 61 Revisited. I know I know DJ King here is excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get moving here.
Let's do it.
The sweet, pretty things on Vietnam, of course. The city fathers they're trying to endorse. The reincarnation of Paul Revere's horse. But the town has no need to be nervous. The ghost of Bell Star, she hands down her wits to Jezebel and Nun. hits. A bald wig for Jack the Ripper, who sits at the head of the Chamber of Commerce. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with the Tombstone Blues. The hysterical bride in the penny arcade, screaming she moans, I've just been made. Then sends out for the doctor, who pulls down the shade and says, my advice is to not let the boys in. Now the medicine man comes and he shuffles inside. He walks with a swagger and he says to the bride, stop all this weeping, swallow your pride. You will not die, it's not poison. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with the Tombstone Blues. Well, John the Baptist, after torturing a thief, looks up at his hero, the commander-in-chief, saying, tell me, great hero, but please make it brief. Is there a hole for me to get sick in? The commander-in-chief answers him while chasing a fly, saying, death to all those who would whimper and cry. And dropping a barbell, he points to the sky, saying, the sun's not yellow, it's chicken. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with the Tombstone Blues. The king of the Philistines, his soldiers to save, puts jawbones on their tombstones and flatters their graves. Puts the Pied Pipers in prison and fattens the slaves and sends them out to the jungle. Gypsy Davy with a blowtorch, he burns out their camps. With his faithful slave Pedro behind him, he tramps. With a fantastic collection of stamps to win friends and influence his uncle. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in trouble with the Tombstone Blues. The geometry of innocent flesh on the bone causes Galileo's math book to get thrown at Delilah, who's sitting worthlessly alone, but the tears on her cheeks are from laughter. I wish I could give Brother Bill his great thrill. I would set him in chains at the top of the hill, then send out for some pillars and Cecil B. DeMille. He could die happily ever after. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with the Tombstone Blues. Once unwrapped a bedroll, tuba players now rehearse around the flagpole, and the national bank at a profit sells roadmaps for the soul to the old folks' home and the college. I wish I could write you a melody so plain that could hold you, dear lady, from going insane, that could ease you and cool you and cease the pain of your useless and pointless knowledge. Mama's in the factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. kitchen with the tombstone blues. All right.